Giacomo Puccini was a great composer whose operas number amongst the world's favorites. Even after he was stricken in cancer in 1922, he was determined to write a final opera, Turandot, which some consider his best. As his illness grew worse, his students implored him to rest and save his strength, but he persisted. At one point, he remarked, "If I don't finish my music, my students will finish it." In 1924, Puccini went to Brussels to be operated on, where he died 2 days after his surgery. His students did finish Turandot, and in 1926, the premiere was held in Milan under the baton of Puccini's favorite student, Arturo Toscanini. All went brilliantly until they came to the point in the score where the teacher had been forced to put down his pen. Toscanini, his face wet with tears, stopped the production, put down his baton, and cried out to the audience, "Thus far, the master wrote, but he died." After a few moments of silence, his face transformed into a smile, Toscanini picked up his baton and cried out to the audience, "But his disciples finished his work. They finished the opera." The book of Acts is the story of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up into heaven. The work that he began was to be completed by his disciples, who were to be his witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. When we come to the book of Acts, we'll see Paul completing what Jesus started in Luke chapter 1. Let's read together how Paul and his faithfulness could say, "Mission accomplished." We'll start with verses 11 through 16 of chapter 28. "After 3 months, we set sail in a ship that was wintered in the island, a ship for Alexandria with the twin gods as a figurehead. Putting in at Syracuse, we stayed there for 3 days. And from there we made a circuit and arrived at Rhegium. And after 1 day, a south wind sprang up, and on the second day we came to Petuni. There we found brothers, and were invited to stay with them for 7 days. And so we came to Rome. And the brothers there, when they heard about us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us. On seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. And when we came into Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with a soldier who guarded him." Here we see Paul accomplished his mission with the help of friends. They spend the winter in Malta, and in March complete their journey to Italy. The new boat they have has two gods carved into the bow of the boat, Castor and Pollux, who are seen as protectors. This is ironic since we've already established over the last 2 weeks that it's been Yahweh who guided and protected the crew of this expedition. If it wasn't for Yahweh, all the shipmates, including Paul, would be dead. They make a few ports, but eventually make port in Apollius, which is modern-day Naples, which is about 130 miles south of Rome. Paul's invited by Christian friends again to stay with them for 7 days. We see here that Julius, the commander of the prisoners, the Roman commander, trusts and respects Paul for who he is, even though he's still a prisoner, if you remember. Imagine having Paul stay in your home. Paul's name was a household word by now, and all Christian communities knew about him, and his letter to the Romans had doubtless been read in all the Italian churches. To have this apostle in their midst, if only for a few days, was an opportunity too precious to be wasted. So off Paul went, both to be ministered into and a minister. What a week it must have been. Everyone would want the latest news from Jerusalem and the Holy Land. People would want to know all about the voyage. And Paul's story of the storm and the shipwreck would keep everybody on the edge of their seats. There would be frequent ministry of the word, questions and consultations and urgent prayer meetings about Paul's future. Paul, too, would want to know the latest news from Rome. So I'm sure that that week sped by. Now, the second part of verse 14 is an important verse as well. Some consider it the climax of the entire book of Acts. Luke writes, "And so we came to Rome." It is the fulfillment of the Great Commission and their job and their task to be witnesses to the end of the earth. The group then makes their 5-day walk to Rome. As they make their way to Rome, Paul is greeted by Roman Christians at the towns along the way. We know there's Christians in Italy and Rome already. Paul has written his letter to the Roman church in the book of Romans 3 years earlier. And Paul sees all these Christians who've gathered alongside the road as he makes his final steps to Rome to encourage him. And he gives thanks. And it says that he took courage. He was encouraged. Again, we see the power of Christian friendships. Paul, like we are all running a race with Rome as the finish line. He had those cheering him on his way in that final stretch. What a powerful gift is our Christian friends who cheer us on our way as we walk our spiritual journey to faithfulness. Never take for granted those who come and encourage you in their spiritual walk. They're gifts from God. Paul, when he gets to Rome, is placed on house arrest. His Christian friends are able to come and go. He even has a soldier who's in the house with him and is actually chained to Paul. But Paul, as a Roman citizen, is treated pretty well. As a prisoner, he was. But God will use this freedom that he has, even though he's in chains, to do a mighty work. Let's take a look at what he says. Verse 17 through 23. After 3 days, he called together the local leaders of the Jews, and when they had gathered, he said to them, "Brothers, though I had done nothing against our people or the custom of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. When they examined me, they wished to set me at liberty, because there was no reason for the death penalty in my case. But because the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, though I had no charge to bring against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I've asked to see you and speak with you, since it's because of the hope of Israel that I'm wearing this chain." And they said to him, "We've received no letters from Judea about you. None of the brothers here has reported or spoken evil about you. But we desire to hear from you. What are your views are? For in regard to the sect that we know that everywhere it is spoken against." When they had appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in greater numbers, from morning till evening. They expounded to him and testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Here we see Paul accomplished his mission even while he was in jail. Paul makes the most of his situation. He ministers to the imperial guard. He ministers to the Jews. He basically ministered to anybody that came to see him. Though he's a prisoner, he's not complaining, he's proclaiming. Shouldn't that be what all of us do? Shouldn't we be proclaimers instead of complainers? Listen to him as he writes the letter to the Colossian church while he was imprisoned in Rome. Colossians 4, verse 2 through 6. "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God might open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account in which I'm in prison, that I might make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you might know how you ought to answer each person." Notice he's not asking to be released from prison. He asks that God open up the door, but what's he actually asking for? He's asking for them to pray that God will open up the door so he might proclaim Christ. He's asking that they will pray so he can make Christ known. We know of at least one person who was converted during Paul's time on house arrest. He was a runaway servant named Onesimus. Paul wrote Philemon about Onesimus. Listen to what he says in Philemon 9 through 10 from his house where he's on house arrest in Rome. "Yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus. I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Paul, while he was in jail, became the spiritual father of Onesimus. Now we also know Paul had impact on the soldiers that were chained to Paul. Each of these soldiers had a front row seat to the gospel. They all heard Paul's conversations with everybody coming to visit. They had the privilege of asking personal questions and getting to know Paul on a very intimate level. And this had an incredible effect. Listen to what Paul says about it in Philippians, the book he wrote while he was on house arrest. Philippians 1, 12 through 14. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers have become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You see, many Romans were hearing the good news. Christians were becoming bolder because of Paul's situation and his witness. Paul was a man consumed by Jesus Christ. Let's follow Paul's example. May we proclaim Christ no matter where we find ourselves, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter who we find ourselves tied to. Paul was also witnessing to the Jews. He told the Jewish leaders in Rome that he held no ill will against the Jewish leaders in Judea or in Rome. Did you hear that? Paul held nothing against those who spent 2 years seeking to kill him. All Paul wants is for them to receive the gospel. Paul proclaims to them the hope of Israel, Jesus Christ. The Jews in Rome say they've not heard about Paul or his charges. This might be because Paul beat anybody to Rome that might have been coming. Or the Jewish leaders in Judea knew that they had no case against Paul, so they decided not to send a persecutor to Rome. We see in verse 22 that they're all interested in what Paul has to say. So Paul gets an audience with the Jewish leaders in Rome. In verse 23, we see that the Jewish leaders keep returning. Paul sets up a Bible study in his house and it grows and it grows. It says he taught from morning until night. What a scene! Paul's house arrest is actually his home base to evangelize Rome. Paul proclaims the gospel in Rome. Do you have a house? You have the same tool Paul had to share the gospel. May we be faithful to share the gospel to those who enter our home. May we be faithful to invite people into our home, our neighbors into our home, our co-workers into our home, so we have an avenue to share the gospel. We'll see the response of the Jewish leaders in this next passage, verses 24 through 30. And some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. And disagreeing amongst themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement. The Holy Spirit is right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. From this people's heart have grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and with their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn. And I would heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him. Here we see the gospel was rejected by the Jews. Some do receive Christ and make him Lord, but we can tell by this passage that most reject the message of Jesus Christ. Paul quotes to them Isaiah 6, where Isaiah predicts that many, if not most, of the Jewish people will reject the Messiah. Many heard the gospel, but it didn't take in their lives. Today we see the same thing. Many people hear the gospel, but it doesn't take in their lives. The question is God done with the Jewish people? Absolutely not. There are many Messianic Jews, Jews who believe in the good news of Jesus Christ. And Paul never gave up on the Jews, even though they repeatedly rejected him over and over and over and over again, and even sought to kill him. And so we must not give up on the Jews as well. The book of Acts ends abruptly. We see that Rome is in no hurry to deal with Paul, so he's left under house arrest proclaiming the gospel. and slowly but surely changing the very fabric of Rome itself. He lives there 2 years, and during this time he wrote the books of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. We should marvel at the spread of the gospel over the course of the book of Acts. The gospel at the beginning of Acts was only in Jerusalem. Jerusalem seems central to us because we spend so much time studying the history of the Jewish people in the Bible. But in the eyes of the world, Jerusalem was a small, out of the way, on the edge of the Roman Empire, wide place in the road. It held no consequence for the Roman Empire. It was just another place to gather revenue. But now, a Galilean who died on the cross in a garbage dump outside the city walls of a non-consequential city is now changing the very fabric of the center of the Roman Empire. The spread of the gospel over the course of the book of Acts is a miracle in itself, and a supernatural event that could only be orchestrated by the hand of God himself. But before we leave the book of Acts, we need to return to its very last verse, verse 31. It tells us what Paul did with his remaining days. Verse 31, he proclaimed the kingdom of God and the teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Verse 31 shows us that Paul completed his mission. We need to complete our mission. Paul completed the mission set before him. He completed the Great Commission. Now, symbolically, the work was done. The gospel made it to Rome. But we all know that the work was just beginning. God didn't just want the gospel to go to Rome. He wanted it to go to every person on the planet, every people group, every nation, every culture, every language. He wants it to go to Ukraine, to the heart of China, to North Korea, and even to the middle of Russia. But he also wants it to go to A.O. Jones Boulevard, to Highway 160, to Cherry Boulevard, to Pleasant Road. He wants it to go to our place of business, your classroom, your neighborhood, your backyard, and even your living room. What Paul started, you and I are called to complete. May we be faithful like Paul was. May we be faithful to encourage one another like Paul's friends did for him. May we be faithful to proclaim the gospel to who we are, or who we're tied to in life. May we be faithful to proclaim to those who may or may not receive it. But may it be said of us, we proclaim the kingdom of God, and we taught about our Lord Jesus Christ. May we look back on the end of our days and be able to say as well, mission accomplished.